Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church on this beautiful summer morning. I love that last song we just sang. Hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, please, to your Bibles, to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 6. This message today is on God's powerful day of living, and this is about a lame man healed. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'd like us to read verses 1 through 10 to give us a full context here of what is going on. Again, this is about the lame man healed. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Alms is money or food or different items. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I believe this chapter clearly spells out the biblical understanding, the true and accurate biblical understanding of miracles, the true and biblical understanding of signs and wonders. This is a magnificent chapter. Acts chapter 3 tells us unequivocally that God's supernatural intervention is not for showbiz. Acts chapter 3 tells us, without a shadow of a doubt, that God's supernatural interventions and dealings in the lives of his children are only for serving God's ultimate purpose, namely the salvation of the souls of the lost people. This was the first miracle that was performed by the apostles since the day of Pentecost. But it was the second message, the second sermon that was preached by Peter, namely the first one was the day of Pentecost. What is this first miracle? Well, remember, Peter and John, I consider they've been business partners. It's not unusual for them to be together. Peter and John had a close friendship. Peter and John, together with James, made the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and John were entrusted by the Lord. They were entrusted by the Lord Jesus to go and make preparation for the Passover meal. Peter and John were alone of all the 12 that followed Jesus into the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, after Jesus was arrested. Peter and John were the first disciples to visit the empty tomb. So this is a close friendship, and here we see them in the book of Acts, partners in ministry, together ministering to the needs of others, ministering the word of God, and they were a powerful force for the Lord. This was about 3:00 in the afternoon. You see, the Jews prayed 3 times a day. They prayed in the morning, they prayed at noon, and then they prayed in the evening. The evening time was the highest peak in terms of the crowd near the temple. So as they were walking, what happened? They were confronted with human hopelessness. And you notice, of course, that Dr. Luke, as a physician, is obviously very interested in this man's physical condition. You see, as we know, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And he was concerned about his physical condition, congenital condition. He's interested in that. And therefore, he tells us some details. Look at, for example, at chapter 3, verse 2. Let's read that together. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Dr. Luke tells us that this man was born crippled. He was born that way. In Acts 4:22, he writes, "For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed." He was in this condition for 40 years. This man was severely crippled, so much so that he was totally and utterly, completely dependent on others to carry him from one place to another. They would pick him up in the morning, and they would put him somewhere, and then when he needs somebody to take him somewhere else, he has to motion to them. And they have to pick him up and carry him, and then have to bring him back and carry him again, and then put him back. And they did this for 40 years. 40 years. And all that this man was hoping for was just barely the physical necessities. What this man was only hoping for, begging for, was whatever he could get in order to exist. That's all he wanted. But my friends, brothers and sisters, please listen carefully, because this is the condition of every one of us. Every one of us. We're born crippled with the disease of sin. Every one of us. We're all born with eternal hopelessness written all over our forehead. Whether you are born in a mansion or a hut, whether you are born rich or poor, whether you are born black or white, we are all born crippled with the disease of sin. We are born heading for destruction. Throughout our lives, Jesus used somebody in your life or in your life that, you know, he used somebody. I can think back of when I was a young man. He sent a young man in my life. God used somebody in your life that pulled you off your crippling condition of sin. Jesus used somebody who stretched out his or her hand to lift you out of your begging, spiritually speaking, condition of sin. Jesus sent someone to you to stretch out his or her hand to rescue you from the gutter of hopelessness and the gutter of the pain of guilt. Jesus sent someone and stretched out his or her hand and delivered you from the destiny of eternal destruction. Amen? I think amen belongs there. Amen. Peter said to the man, "Silver and gold I have none, but at the name of Jesus Christ." What does it mean when you do something in the name of Jesus Christ? What does it mean? When you do something in the name of Jesus Christ, it means you are acting consistently with his will. When you do something in the name of Jesus Christ, it means that you are doing something on his authority. Do something in the name of Jesus Christ is doing something with his delegated power to you. And so Peter commands the beggar to get up. And did he get up? Look at the healing's response, the healing's evidence. The man's joy and excitement it knew no bounds. He wasn't merely walking, but jumping and leaping, like a kid with a new toy that he had waited for all those years. The shackles have been broken here, my friends. The crippling is no more. The chains that held him to the ground were torn of thunder. Friends, brothers and sisters, please hear me right on this one. If you have never experienced victory over sin, victory over addiction, if you have never experienced victory over your love of money and material things, if you have never experienced victory over false guilt, you are in one of two conditions. You are either have never experienced the power of salvation, the liberating power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, or you have experienced the liberating salvation of Jesus Christ, but you are living in disobedience. The good news is, my friends, today you can be set free. No matter where you are, whatever your condition you are in, today you can be set free. Whatever your condition you are in, you can be set free today. That is the good news of the gospel. Today, you can be set free. Listen, don't trust in your silver and gold. You may say, what is wrong with silver and gold? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with silver and gold. But when they become the object of your comfort and security, there is everything wrong with it. Don't trust in your intellectual ability. Nothing wrong with being intellectual. But when it becomes a source of your pride, you are in terrible danger. The Lord God does not like a haughty spirit, and pride goes before the fall. Don't trust in your family connections. Nothing wrong with them. I love my family. I thank God for my family every day. But they're not going to bring you the grace of God that you desperately need today. Simply allow the power of the Holy Spirit to come into your life to set you free. If you have done that, praise God. But if you have not, you can do it now. You can do that now. Ask Jesus into your life today. Please don't wait. Stop sitting on the fence. If you're a person that has been enslaved, whatever it is, your addiction to whatever it is, pray and ask God, Lord, set me free today. I believe the power of God, the Holy Spirit, will set you free. Ask Him sincerely, and you ask Him today, will you do that? God bless you. May God honor you, because God said He honors those who honor Him. Do this in obedience to Him. So this man at the beautiful gate where Peter walked in near the temple, and he tells him, verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man gets up and walked. The Bible says many believed. That man died again, but those who believed were eternally saved. And so Peter begins his message by identifying the besetting of sin. You see, for just the miracle taking place, and that was the end of it? Everybody said, isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Boy, this man must have some power. And a few people may go around and say, tell us about this power. As we know later, some sorcerers were trying to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. Actually, they thought they could purchase it. Peter goes on to preach the message. And the message that Peter preached, and those who were saved as a result of that message, will live forever. And you and I will see them in heaven. Amen. That's why he begins by the besetting of sin. My friends, all preaching, all teaching, all ministry, all witnessing, whether it is done in the church or outside the church, if it does not begin with sin and repentance of sin, it will not have salvation with it. Someone once said, and this is what I tell everybody, he said, I tell them all you need to do to be saved is just take Jesus in your life. Just do that, just take him in your life. This is like telling someone with a shotgun wound, all you need to do is put a big band-aid on it. The lead shot is still inside. You got to get it out in order for it to heal. When I read the Bible cover to cover, I find particularly all of the preaching, witnessing, teaching, all of the ministry that is done by the apostles, they had to begin by identifying sin. It had to begin by confessing sin. Had to begin by repenting of their sins, and then salvation takes place. Look at verses 13, 14, and 15 of the book of Acts, chapter 3. Let's read that together. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Peter identifies here their sin. What is it? Here is what he said, right here. And you know, I wanted to say that when you read Acts 3, 13, 14, 15, and when you read this, have you ever scratched your head and say, isn't this ironic to listen to? I mean, who is talking here? Peter is talking. This is Peter. What an irony. This is the very man who disowned and disavowed any knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, what is this? Is he a hypocrite? No, he's not. Not at all. Not at all. Brothers and sisters, this is the very core of the Christian faith, the very heart of the gospel. You say, how can he condemn people for the same sin that he had committed? Yes, Peter denied Christ. But this is what happened, okay? But Peter confessed, repented, and he was forgiven. And he wanted this for the people. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted this for the people. Desperately wanted this for the people. Peter is saying even the horrible sin of rejecting the Son of God and excluding the Messiah will be wiped out when you repent. What a great God we have. Those of you who are having a hard time accepting the forgiveness of God, or do you have a hard time forgiving yourself? The Word of God has an answer for this. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If God is willing to forgive those who nailed his son to the cross, will he not be willing to forgive you? Ask yourself that question today. Whatever the magnitude of your sin, God's grace is greater than your sin. All of us have faced besetting of sin. Many of us have known the benefits of repentance. But also many of us know the blessing of surrender. Peter closes his sermon in Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Let us read that together. And these last two verses in the chapter, they come with a hopeful note. You are sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Peter shares this with such boldness. And I wanted to go on to read Romans 1:16 because Paul also spoke in boldness, saying, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. These men spoke boldly. They did not hold back. Remember this whole episode of the lame man healed. It began on the note of hopelessness, of human hopelessness. And now it concludes with the hope of the blessings of God. Peter is saying to them, you can experience the fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham that in Jesus Christ the nations of the world will be blessed. Here is the good news. All the riches of the blessings of salvation, all of the riches of the blessings of the covenant promises are available to you today. They are yours for the asking, just as they were available to Peter's hearers in Acts chapter 3. Regardless of what you have done, regardless of the low self-image that you may have, regardless of the guilt that you may be carrying, God will bless you when you repent and surrender to Him. Repentance is deciding to change course. Repentance is a crying to God with a desire to change, asking for His power to change you. That's what repentance is all about. And God will visit you with heavenly refreshment. I'd like to read that. Acts chapter 3, 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Your sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ, and a heavenly refreshment because of that. Because that is what He promised when you turn to Him. Amen? Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, Lord, as we look over your word. We thank you for your word, Lord God, which is a lamp unto our feet. We thank you for this wonderful story here, this actual account of what happened here in Acts 3. About the lame man being healed. There's so much here, Lord God, that we look at and we thank you for, because it shows your power in healing people that are really suffering. But we also see two men here that were sold out for the gospel, sold out to you, that gave their lives, that spoke boldly for you. They had nothing but wanting to see people to come to salvation through you. May we have that inner fire and desire to go out and speak your word like this boldly to those, our neighbors, co-workers, friends, whoever we come into contact with within the city. May we follow through on the Great Commission to make us more disciples of Jesus. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for this word that is just so powerful, for this word that is so, may it convict those, but bring those to being set free, that they would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. Be set free and experience things in their life from you, things that they never knew, and to live a life that would be pleasing to you because you promised that. And again, we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.